The gospel today comes from the beginning of the sixth chapter of St. John's gospel. And I make a particular note of that because according to the providence of God and the way God works in so many different things, that nothing is done by happenstance, that this event of the miraculous feeding of 5,000 from five barley loaves and two fishes, which demonstrates the almighty power of Jesus Christ, that he has command over the elements of the world, that if necessary at this particular point for a miracle to prove his power, he would multiply these loaves and fishes here in order to feed the people, which also demonstrates his compassion, his care for the poor. When his apostles pointed out to him that the people were here and they couldn't send them home because they had been come with him for a long journey and they would be probably faint on the way because for lack of food. And so he would feed them and then send them back. And also, just St. John makes this little side notes here, and there must grass in the place. You know, if there's going to be this miracle and Jesus plans this whole thing, then he does it at such a point where there'll be at least comfort when people are sitting down, even in the open air there, to witness such a miracle. It just demonstrates the power, the forethought, the almighty power, knowledge, you know, the omniscient God, omnipresent God. We've got all these qualifications and powers that belong to God are found in him. But the fathers of the church also have us look at this story that comes to us in this part of St. John's gospel as an understanding of what Jesus would do in the institution of the Holy Eucharist, how he could multiply, if you will, if we want to use that term, multiply himself and still be himself, multiply himself all these times over all ages until the end of time, so that everyone who is of proper dispositions to receive Holy Communion can do so and not in any way take away from God whom he is. And I say it's interesting that it comes up in this sixth chapter from the Gospel of St. John, because later on in this chapter, around the 45th to the 50th verses, somewhere around in there, we see another particular part of this teaching about the Holy Eucharist, what is shown here, demonstrated here by this great miracle, the feeding of 5,000, Jesus later on uses as an opportunity to teach people who are following him, who have seen his power, to listen to words that he says that are hard for them to understand, and for a small group, not even a large group, a larger group, as we understand it from St. John, who were willing to listen to him but not follow him anymore because of what he said. You see, our Lord, when he's teaching about the Holy Eucharist, what is to come, he's demonstrating he has this power. He can multiply creation itself, make it possible that it's there. And then later on he says, unless you receive the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall not have life in you. And St. John makes a point, just like St. John has, it begins to detail, as we see in this gospel, 5,000 people, grass in the place, all these, the Pasch is at hand. St. John is careful looking at detail. And as that teaching comes forth from Jesus, he pays attention to another point of detail, that there are many people who heard Jesus say that and who no longer walked with him. They just turned and went away, either thinking he was crazy or think it's impossible. Are we supposed to turn into cannibals at that point? That's not what he's teaching here. He's teaching an important part that ties in with our study of the interior life that we're doing now for the season of Lent. That unless you receive the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you won't have his life in you. And if you wish to have life, this is where it comes. It's one of its greatest sources. And he didn't try to stop him. That's the point. This is the other part of the detail of St. John. You know, so many people, the politicians today, they'll issue a statement and afterwards do a correction, when people start to be against what they had said. When Jesus said these words that sounded hard, people said, this is a hard saying and who can take it, and walked and never more walked with him, St. John says. But Jesus didn't go running after them and saying, wait, slow down. You didn't understand what I said. That's not what I meant. This is what I meant. He didn't do that. Instead, he turned to the disciples, Peter and Andrew and all the others around him, and asked them, will you also leave? You've heard what I've had to say. You've heard that these are important words. You've heard the command that I have given, the command that you must eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, or you will not have spiritual life. You've heard it. What will you do? Are we going to leave and follow those people? St. Peter, admitting he didn't know what happened, just like he didn't understand fully the multiplication of barley loaves and two fishes and to feed 5,000 completely and still have 12 baskets left over. Lord, you know, it's just turned into stuff. That was the words of eternal life. We know that. We don't fully understand. We trust that at some other particular point you will teach us what it is here, but no, we are not going to leave like these others have done. And later on Holy Thursday night, the fulfillment of it takes place. They are ordained as priests with the power to change bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, to multiply God so men could receive him, so this commandment could be fulfilled. Except you receive the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in you. We've been talking about spiritual life, the interior life, the life that comes from sanctifying grace, that special grace that is the life of God living within us, where our souls become the tabernacles of God. We receive sanctifying grace through the sacraments. We receive it anytime we do good works that increase and multiplies. But the greatest amount of sanctifying grace, the greatest parts of helping us to become holy for God, to grow in our love for him, to serve him better, comes when each one of us fulfills this commandment of receiving Jesus and receiving him worthily. St. Paul, in one of his epistles to the Corinthians, explains about worthy reception of Holy Communion. Let a man prove himself. Let him make sure that he is worthy of soul to come forth to receive the all-holy God. Because that's what takes place here. This is no longer bread, not wine. It's not a symbolism. It really is God. And it is, we know that it is because Jesus said it is so. If he can multiply by his own power, feed 5,000 people, he can give men power to change bread and wine to his body and blood. Still looking like bread, still tasting like wine, but completely changing into his body and blood. It's that way because he says so, and that we believe. Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. How it happens, we don't know, except by his almighty power. But by fact, it does happen. And that's where our life comes from. This is where the eternal life comes. You see, of all the ways that Jesus could have chosen to be such, show compassion and love to those who follow him, he could have chosen many other ways, but to make it where it's a gift of himself, that you and I can receive him in Holy Communion as spiritual food for our souls, he uses the analogy, if you will. It's not really an analogy, it's a right thing, but it's just, we know that material food that we eat each day is there to nourish our bodies, and through that helps to repair the cells in our bodies and all the different things that we need for life. Well, Holy Communion is that spiritual food for our souls. It maintains, it increases, it repairs our spiritual forces that we have on the inside. It makes them stronger. Where there might be problems and difficulties, by constantly receiving Holy Communion a good way and a good disposition, we but grow toward God better and better, more and more each day. Every time we receive Holy Communion, it's a growing union with Jesus Christ. We can't help but touch him. Touch him. This is not some holy person coming along, laying their hands on us, whatever. This is the Almighty God, the All-Holy God, being placed in our tongue and then united with us for that 15-minute period of time until the host dissolves. That God is within us by grace, but also by his physical presence in the transformation of bread and wine into his body and blood. And even though, and for us, we receive the host, for the most part, the priest at Mass receives the sacred host and the precious blood. And some people want to say, and it's one of the sophisms of the modern church, why they have to receive communion under both species. Like the Council of Trent teaches us, you know, in Holy Communion, when we receive the host, it is the entire Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, everything of him. You can't separate him. But at Mass, we need to have the fulfillment of what he did at Calvary, the offering of the bread, or the offering of the wine, the changing of bread, the changing of wine to his body and blood. For the reception of Holy Communion, for us in the Latin Rite anyway, it's not necessary that everyone also receive this, the precious blood. Everything of Jesus is contained in the host. There is nothing being missed. Thou hast the words of eternal life, Jesus. There is nothing being missed here. It is the way that makes us holy. It sanctifies us. And those who eat of his flesh also drink of his blood by doing so, and thus grow in eternal life. You see, The reception of Holy Communion has a transforming effect. This union with Jesus does this. It changes our thoughts, the way we're thinking, the convictions that we have, our desires, our choices. Our heart is freed from this narrow egotism that so crowds in upon us and chokes out charity, the love of God and the love of neighbor. The merely natural affections and attachments we might have for people will grow that we love each other in Jesus Christ, which is what charity is all about. And what is more, the very love of God itself becomes real day by day, more and more. We grow in that love. Every time we receive Holy Communion, we grow in that love because every time we do that, we receive God himself. Now, to gain these great effects from Holy Communion, we need the right dispositions, the right dispositions of souls. I already mentioned one of them. We got to make sure that we're free from mortal sin. Okay, that's an important part because we can't be an enemy of God and expect to bring Jesus into us and that we'll be blessed for that. It doesn't work that way. But having proven ourselves, like St. Paul tells us in the Epistle to Corinthians, having proved ourselves, then let me take the next step. Now, what will we do? Since this is the all-holy God coming into us, what can I do to prepare for him? Because it's holy, and I know the better I prepare, the more graces will come to me, and the effect that I see, the transforming effect, will last that much longer. Should I pray all day? Well, that'd be a good idea, but honestly, none of us could pray all day. None of us truly, in all honesty, is worthy enough to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. If it wasn't for this command, unless you receive the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in you. If it wasn't for that command, none of us should dare to go see him because we are sinners to have the holy God come to us. But Jesus wants to take the fact that we are sinners and we're sorry for our sin and to turn us into holiness. Less and less sin, more and more love from God, working in our daily lives from that love of God to love of neighbor. And that way the sinner turns into the saint. That's what Jesus wants to do. The continuing work of the redemption is fulfilled through Holy Communion in each one of us in every way. So how can we make sure our heart and souls are going to be ready for that moment? Yes, like I said, praying every day would be good, but we know it's not practical. But what is practical is to take the daily duties and responsibilities that we have and do them well. Do them for the love of God. Take the talents that God has given to us, thank him for those, and use them properly in every particular way. In doing that, we're keeping our heart always ready, always there to love God and to demonstrate and prove to God that I love him. And besides that type of an idea, we can learn from Jesus about the humility of his heart. You know, he tells us, learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest here. My yoke is sweet. My burden is light. Those who receive Holy Communion, the proper dispositions, understand that. We can also have desire to have that union that comes by Holy Communion. For the most part, most people, because of either distance from church or they can't attend Mass every day and things of that nature, but as they anticipate and come up and they understand the value of Holy Communion, and so about Wednesday or Thursday, they start thinking, Mass is on Sunday. I'm going to have a chance to attend Mass, but also to receive Holy Communion again. And at that particular point, the heart starts to fill with anticipation. What Holy Communion brings to me, the union with the all-holy God, what it helps me in so many different ways. And so through that anticipation as part of my preparation, it changes those next few days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, into days of anticipation, days of living for God. So I'm ready to receive in my heart and soul and have that transforming effect take place once again, stronger and stronger than it had been before. And then through that there, I'm ready. I have fewer distractions when I come to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. I don't distract myself, I don't distract others, because I know this is an important time. See, that's one means, one great means of helping to prepare ourselves for Holy Communion. There are prayers we can recite when we come for Mass, and those things are good. There's also prayers that we should say and other times to spend with Jesus after Holy Communion and Thanksgiving. Don't be rude to him. He is still within us for 15 minutes after receiving Holy Communion. Don't get off in some world of distracting thoughts. Every time you get willful distractions going, then you're ignoring Jesus, and who wants to say that they're guilty of ignoring God? You're ignoring him, and the graces that could be there, should be there, will not be there. And the transforming effect is slowed down. Yes, everyone who receives Jesus receives some grace, but those who have better dispositions receive more. And that transforming effect becomes stronger and stronger every time we receive Holy Communion. There's great differences that take place in our lives, step by step, day by day. It is real what happens. Not imaginary, it's not symbolic, it's real. But there's also other things that we can do to help to sustain the great effects that come from Holy Communion. That transforming thing to sustain them within us, because if we're all honest with ourselves, we know we'll come to communion on Sunday. By Monday, the anticipation is start to wane off because we get distracted with work and other things that have to happen. And then with those distractions, then the fervor cools off. We're not fulfilling the things as we should in every way. And so the dispositions we should have aren't there, and we're losing. Jesus is in our souls, yes, but the presence, the transforming effect is starting to go away. So that by Monday or Tuesday, oh gosh, we're starting to become like our old selves again. Maybe we're a little stronger than we were before, but not as much. What can we do to keep up that transforming effect, to keep it sustained within us, to expand the life of God within us? There's several things, several other activities that all surround the Holy Eucharist that will help us in that way. One is attending Mass. And we said, like, you know, the Catechism tells us the Holy Eucharist is both a sacrament and a sacrifice. The Holy Eucharist is incorporated. Jesus becomes, the bread and wine rather, become Jesus in within the Mass. That's the ordinary way in which this sacrament takes place. But as we know, the Mass is the unbloody sacrifice of Calvary. Everything that Jesus did in dying for us is renewed here. If we attend Mass with greater devotion, that's going to help to sustain those dispositions more and more. Prepare us for Holy Communion. Keep us strong in thanksgiving. We'll remember what the Mass is, and even if I can't attend Mass tomorrow or the next day, then I'll remember the prayer that is in the Mass that the priest prays, that he offers the Mass for all here present, but likewise for all faithful Christians who are scattered throughout the world who unite their heart and soul with this Mass going on right now. And every priest throughout the entire world who is offering the Mass, in that way you and I can say, I unite with not just one, but many Masses at that point, and can help to sustain me and keep me strong in what I've gained from receiving Holy Communion. Besides that, even if I can't do that, gosh, we've got the Mass cam up here. Most people have it online. You're online. You can follow Mass even at home. First thing in the morning, before you get going with things. Mass is at 8 o'clock Monday through Thursday. We know that. Even if you can't be here, you can follow with Mass. What a great way to start the day. I can't be here, but I understand Mass is there going on right now. And I unite with that. Not some general idea about Mass someplace, but Mass here right now. And the other benefits that comes from having that camera here, that Mass cam that we've got, comes in the next area of how we demonstrate our love and want to keep this life sustained and expanding within us. And that's by visiting Jesus in Holy, you know, in the Blessed Sacrament, by coming here to the church and coming into his presence here. You know, it's one thing, you know, that to pray for the needs that we have. And where two or three are gathered together, Jesus says, there I am in the midst. But to know that he is really, truly, and present here. If I'm really troubled with heart and soul, instead of going out and ripping somebody's head off because I'm so angry and upset, instead of blogging a bunch of people because of what was said and done to me, on my Facebook page, I've got to show it on here because of all these things that go on. How about coming to church, kneeling down, and pouring out my heart and soul to him? And letting him take care of all that stuff that human beings, Facebook pages, and all that stuff could never do. That's what the visits to Jesus and Blessed Sacrament do. This is why they're so sustaining in the spiritual life-giving that we have, how we keep stronger through them day by day. But the side benefit of having that camera for Mass, like we have, so people can watch Mass throughout the world. We call it our mass camp. Is that there are people, and this is how inventive people can be. If they really want to grow in their love for God, they'll be inventive of things they can do. They won't be limited by things. And when the technology allows for you to go online, go to the parish website, click on the link that shows there, and up the camera will come, even though it's not mass, but you still see the altar where Jesus is. You see where the candle is burning up here to show, demonstrate that he is present here. And you can make a cyber visit. I'm not trying to make light of it, make short of it. But I'm just saying that people who are inventive of how they want to love God and sustain this in their life, they will take it to this next step that can be done at home, at work. Even people who have these mobile phones. You can do it at any place, at any time, with that kind of an access, and let Jesus be part of your life. It's a visit to Jesus. No, I'm not physically there, but I'm looking at what I know where he is present. And it's sure better than trying to imagine it. I see him, his tabernacle, know that he is there, and draw great comfort even from that point. Like I said, people who love are inventive of how they will demonstrate love and grow in love. And this is how, if we love God, we will use every kind of means possible to continue to grow in that love. Another part of it is through spiritual communions. Spiritual writers tell us that spiritual communions are very effective in the graces they bring to us, may not be completely the same as receiving Holy Communion physically, spiritually, but they are graces productive of so many graces that can take place. And it's something we can do frequently. We can only receive communion once a day if we wish. But we can receive spiritual communions as many times as we want. Dear Jesus, even though I cannot receive these sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. As though thou wast already there, I embrace thee and unite myself to thee. Nevermore separate thyself from me. What did that take? Maybe 10 seconds? In a 10-second period of time, I can benefit so greatly from spiritual communion. That's why people who say they're so distracted during the day or they can't help it and things like that, there are so many opportunities here to keep the distractions away, to grow in love and service of God. Just leaving the point of spiritual communion is in 10 seconds. If you want to, you can do it. If the will is there to be united to God by love, there are so many opportunities in those people's lives to grow in that love. Love is inventive. Love will never be cut short. Jesus loves us so greatly to want to be received by us. Return that love back to him, to want to be united with him. That's the whole idea here. This is the great secret, if you will, of the interior life. It's a secret that comes with a command. If you want to grow in this life, except you receive the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in you. If you want to grow, this is where it comes from. If you want life to be there and sustained, if you want that transforming effect, if you say the spiritual life is so difficult for me, I just don't know how to do it, let Jesus come into you with Holy Communion. Receive him well. Prepare for this. Demonstrate that you love him, and he will love you. He will transform you and make you into a different person. Not a different person weird, but a different person who loves God all day, in every circumstance, and finds in every action of the day something that can be done to prove my love for God and to experience that love growing within me day by day, more and more. Holy Communion is such a wonderful, wonderful sacrament. Like I said earlier, we could not even have thought, we couldn't even think to ask God for something like this to help us to grow in grace. It's the love of Almighty God for us that he has done so. This is Laetare Sunday, a rejoicing time that we have even in the middle of Lent. Rejoice with this fact. Jesus is here for us to receive. You and I can receive him and be transformed and grow. Boy, there's nothing better than that. Learn to appreciate that, and we'll see how much Holy Communion not only means to you, but will help you every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.